Coming up on podcast 1295, the Audi e-tron gets a facelift and even more range. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, new Volkswagen ID Buzz. Rivian are testing their competition and Tesla are switching chips and they're making their cars faster. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 1st of December. Martin here. I've been through every EV story for the last week, every day, and written this script. I've just not been able to speak it because I lost my voice. I'm waiting on another COVID test. Whatever this is, it's just a really irritating illness. My voice is back enough to talk to you, and apologies for being away. Our son has a 40-degree temperature. I'm out of breath. This is, if you were to say COVID symptoms, pretty up there. But two negative tests so far, another one done yesterday, so waiting on those results. But finally, I won't bore you. Finally, my voice back now to a stage where I can chat and tell you about what I was writing every day whilst I was feeling pretty sorry for myself. So I had all the stories put away, just, you know, maybe if I had somebody else on the podcast team who could actually just record a podcast, you wouldn't have had to wait for these shows. Sorry again, my plan is to stop after every story and have a, what should we say, a clear out. And you'll never know. I'll just stitch it together. We'll start with news about the Audi e-tron getting ready for the second half of its life with a facelift and tech upgrade, slated to appear sometime next year. Well, the most welcome change will be the new generation battery, more efficient motors, greater regen, and all new control electronics that work together to increase the range by 50%, well, nearly 50%. So the official range of the Audi e-tron, which, you know, is a bit of a charging monster but doesn't have great range, 259 miles will go to 373, according to the guys at autoblog.com. If the same transformation applies to the EPA ratings, the e-tron would go from 222, which it is in the US, to 329, if it's the same percentage increase. If you're thinking about the e-tron Sportback, though, I love that. Now, I know it's less practical, but I think it looks cool. That would go from 218 to 323. But they're not increasing the amount of energy stored, 95 kilowatt hours. These are just improvements they've been able to make. So you could either say that the first Audi e-tron, they got it out the door, but it wasn't fully baked. But it, you know, it's an amazing machine. But in that time, they've managed to find so many improvements. It'll be on the market for another 5 years or so, so it's got to compete with the growing tide of dedicated EV crossovers. Autoblog says that during a visit to Audi's Belgian factory that builds the e-tron and Sportback, the brand CEO Marcus Duisman told RTL the factory will begin building the Q8 e-tron. Now, the Q8 e-tron is what will eventually replace what you know as the Audi e-tron. Audi debuted the China-only Q5 last week. A Q6 hits the market as their first car on a new platform, the PPE platform. That's going to be the same as the Porsche Macan. By the way, that's coming not next year, but the year after. Then we're going to see an A6 e-tron. That's going to be a sedan, right? And by 2025, there might be an A9. I'm getting slightly confused, and my brain fuzziness has only just disappeared. So yeah, loads more Audis to come, but the main point of that story is they've managed to improve the Audi e-tron so much in just 2-3 years, which is awesome for the engineers working on that. And actually, look, getting that range over 300 on EPA is really important. Getting the range almost to 400 on WLTP is really important as well, because it is a really premium car. Now, let's talk about the new Volkswagen ID Buzz. Some people call it an electric MPV. I call it like the surf van. VW's all-electric take on its classic camper van will be available. They say as a practical MPV, people carrier, and also there'll be a commercial vehicle version of it as well. Prototypes in camouflage have been seen, but that camouflage has gradually been getting less and less. And we've now got some more spy shots. Now, we did see that shot of the car. You know where they unveiled the ID5 and the ID5 GTX on stage? The camera panned round and it was the Buzz on stage. Now, you can see increasingly what the finished car is going to look like, and I think it does look a lot like the original ID Buzz concept from 2017. Social media has said that it's not as wow factor, a bit more of a, you know, kind of just like a Volkswagen MPV van. However, it has still got, I think, body panels on it, which make it look more toned down. I think when we see that finished car go on the market, I do believe it will have that wow factor. The interior, undoubtedly, it's going to be the VW interior that we've seen on their cars, ID3, ID4, ID5, etc. I think it'll look the same inside, that buttonless dashboard. I do think they need to improve it, because I had an ID3 this year and I didn't like, at times, some of the ways that you controlled the car. I didn't like at night. I couldn't change the temperature of the car easily at night, because I find that when everything is on a, you know, there is a button, but it's like a haptic kind of feedbacky button. You slide your finger along rather than just turning up a dial. I struggled a bit. I think you'd get used to it. Didn't have the car for more than 2-3 months, the ID3. And so maybe you would get used to it, but I couldn't in that time. So I think they need to change the interior a little bit, add some more lighting, or change the way you control things, less reliant on sliding your finger along things, you know, and those kind of buttonless issues. The cargo version of the ID Buzz will take around 800 kilograms in the back. And it'll also obviously power work tools, and if it's a camper van, it's going to have like a household power outlet, so 230, 240 volts here and 120 for the US. Volkswagen confirming the upcoming ID Buzz will use batteries up to 111 kilowatt hours in size, the range-topping version having 340-plus miles of range. A link to CarWow, where I found that story, in the show notes. Rivian are next in the news. Nothing unusual to see a car maker benchmarking against another car, but this time it's one of their big shareholders. That would be Ford. Now, in the parking lot of Rivian, you can see a Ford Mustang Mach-E with trade plates on, owned by Rivian. And there's a Tesla Model 3 in there as well, Audi e-tron, and a Ford Mustang Mach-E. Ford Authority spies have captured the automaker benchmarking the Rivian vehicles against the Mustang Mach-E. Really interesting, because Ford are a big, big shareholder. You wouldn't think they'd have to buy that. You'd pick up the phone to the boss and say, can you send us one? Or maybe they did have to put an order in and wait. I doubt it. Next, we'll talk about which car company is complaining about making EVs. That would be the behemoth that is Stellantis. A huge mix of international car companies combining top manufacturers from different countries. And given how much shade the Stellantis umbrella casts, says Jalopnik, it's almost funny how little EV experience is shared amongst the automakers. Stellantis' most prestigious mark would be Ferrari, up until now, swearing they'd never go electric, which made me smile because, well, the point of a non-renewable fuel is they're non-renewable. We can't keep using petrol and diesel. E-fuels and synthetics, I don't rate those, by the way, because of the emissions involved in both production and actually emissions involved in burning things. Stellantis said, what has been decided is to impose on the automotive industry electrification that brings 50% additional costs against a conventional vehicle. There is no way we can transfer 50% of additional costs to the final consumer, because most parts of the middle class will not be able to pay. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. And it's a familiar refrain from the existing car makers, so many of them publicly, when the CEOs speak, so many of them not fans of electrification. We had this earlier in the year. Now, I forget if it was either Renault-Nissan, or was it the Peugeot event? Anyway, there was an event in France. So it was cars that do well in France, and I should look it up in my notes. But it was a kind of investor day, I think it was, and that, you know, the CEO was saying, obviously politicians are listening to it, oh, you know, if only we could get battery prices below $100 per kilowatt hour, then we could make a small city car. But, you know, batteries are so expensive, we could never make a small city car. Not for years. And you think, okay, LFP cells coming out of China, about $60 per kilowatt hour at the moment, and getting cheaper this year, next, and the year after as well. It's why Tesla have gone to them. Those coming out of the CATL factories, BYD as well, a long way under $100 per kilowatt hour. So either the CEO doesn't know the truth, or it's BS. Or it's not BS. I shouldn't accuse them of that. Or they can't get the cells at that price because they haven't got battery supply contracts in place. Either way, that's your fault, my friend. You should have been thinking about this when we were talking about it on this podcast years ago. These cells were coming. This cobalt-free chemistry was coming around the corner either way. it's priced very low, but so many of them don't want to let the, you know, decision makers, the policy makers, in on that. So they'll make these big statements, like Stellantis saying, well, an EV costs 50% more to make, which is nonsense. Or maybe it does for Stellantis. What a terrible business they must be in if it really is the truth, because it shouldn't be. Right, coming up very soon, we're going to have a look at in-car purchasing. What do you think of that? And Tesla's getting quicker, but on the inside. Stick around. Okay, let's continue. Many minutes later for me, mere moments for you. The infotainment system in the Tesla Model Y has been using an Intel chip, but not for much longer. As Brinkwire reports, Tesla has decided to switch from Intel to AMD and Ryzen chips for the nerds listening in the Model Y. Beginning in China, but we know how this plays out. It'll be in all of their cars. It shouldn't come as much of a surprise because Tesla has switched between Intel, Nvidia and AMD in the past. According to PCMag.com, the Model S and Model X have made the switch to an AMD chip already. Now, the Model Y is joining them. And the fact that it's only happening in China may be the initial phase, but really all new Model Ys around the world are expected to get the new AMD Ryzen chips. Elon Musk likes to tell people how good Teslas are at playing the latest games. And an AMD Ryzen certainly helps when it comes to playing games. And actually, I think it would, you know, any chip upgrade is going to make it snappier. It's going to make it, well, for a start, boot up quicker. But then things like moving around, you know, Google Maps and those kind of things that are pretty graphic intensive when you're looking at a big area, or maybe even zoom out to country level and you want to see where the charges are. You know, you're pinching and zooming and moving around on screen. It'll make all of that even snappier. And I do think, like, the Tesla stuff is actually kind of best in class. And so apart from maybe using my phone when I have that plugged in through Apple CarPlay, because I do find that that for me is the ultimate experience. But Tesla, of course, famously do not allow you to use your phone, Apple or Android, in their cars. Why is that? Here's a possible reason. Tesla are now enabling in-car purchasing and subscriptions for their latest software updates. Owners can buy premium connectivity from the center console inside your Tesla vehicle. Despite not being in the release notes, Tesla owners getting the new update. It's 2021.40.6. The update reports that you can now have a tab that says upgrades. It appears the only thing you can upgrade is the premium connectivity subscription, though, in the in-car purchasing system. Of course, the app is very different. I'm talking about in-car purchasing here. According to Electrek website, they write that, interestingly, it's actually not the first time that Tesla introduced in-car purchasing. Back in 2016, the Model S was software locked and owners could unlock it for $10,000. So this is definitely the way that you can see them going for recurring, you know, revenue for subscriptions, but also allowing people in their car to purchase extra things, maybe downloadable content. Oh my goodness, I can't believe our cars are going the way of our mobile phones and our computers, but that is the way they are going. I hate it. But yeah, you'll buy the car, but then the car's not as good as it can be because you can do some DLC. So you'll be like, well, actually, now I want the seat heaters activated. And so I'll download that upgrade pack. And actually, I'd like the, I don't know, extra performance or whatever, which they've done in the past, but I think will increasingly be a thing. Or maybe there'll just be apps for Teslas. And there'll be an app store and, you know, you can make those in-car purchasing decisions and you think, okay, well, I want this, you know, maybe your favourite, because I use ZapMap a lot on my phone. It's an app we have here. It's the first one I used when I first went EV. I'm just used to it. There's other good ones like PlugShare. And, you know, maybe there'll be a ZapMap for the internal system on Tesla's designed to fit the screen, you know, and maybe that's going to be like a, you know, $199, you know, $599 purchase. And so Tesla will take their cut, like Apple take their cut. I don't particularly like it, but I think that's the way it's going to be going. So that might be why Tesla are in no hurry to ever allow you to use your phone to plug in either, you know, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, whether plugged in or wirelessly, because actually it makes sense for them not to allow you to get access to all the apps that you've bought on your device because, well, you can rebuy a bunch of stuff for your car. All right, moving on. And Tesla's GigaPress supplier says six Chinese automakers want similar tech. The LK Technology Company has worked with Tesla on the casting technology and says that six China-based car makers want to deploy similar technology to the GigaPress. According to Benzinger, Tesla's been investing heavily in casting and alloy technology and uses a series of big die-casting machines to make car bodies with just a few massive cast parts, a trend catching on in the auto industry. The GigaPress is seen as Tesla's latest leap in manufacturing and is used to produce the Model Y. The technology reduces the Model Y's front and rear casting from hundreds of parts to just two. Pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Tesla has been found guilty again of throttling supercharging speeds on older Model S's. This is in Norway. They've been ordered to pay customers about $14,200 equivalent in krona. With an estimated 10,000 Model S's in Norway, of course, it is a massive EV market where Tesla was really big early doors. So from 2013 to 2015, those Model S owners, is Bjørn Nyland caught up in that? He has an old Model S that he bought back, didn't he? The original one. The potential fine adds up to $142 million. Small change for the richest man in the world. But of course, I'm sure the Tesla would rather not be paying $142 million in fines to impacted customers for slowing down supercharging speeds. Second time that Tesla's been found guilty of those claims, says drivetesla.canada.ca. Earlier this year, they were found to have intentionally lowered the charging speeds of those Model S vehicles with an over-the-air update in 2019. Well, Tesla not responding to the lawsuit or even attending the hearing, so an absence judgment was made in favour of the car owners themselves. In the ruling, Tesla was ordered to pay that time $16,000 equivalent. And it was either for that last one or this one that I did see Tesla respond and say, we didn't know there was the court hearing happening, so we'll turn up next time you have it and we'll defend it. And I think they're appealing. Not sure why they didn't know. Anyway, maybe there was no one to send it to. Surely, even though Tesla have no media department or PR or any kind of, you know, relations, they've got a legal department, right? Anyway, not sure how they didn't quite know that that case was going to court, which was their excuse. Now let's talk Volvo. Oh, you know what? An all-electric XC90 would be so popular. With so many people that want a bigger people carrier, SUV, etc., people just love the Volvo brand, let's face it. But maybe the electric XC90, because there is one coming, won't be called the XC90. Maybe it'll be called the Embla. EMBLA. The all-electric crossover, that's successor to the XC90, is going to be called the Embla. That's at least a hint from Volvo's boss, Håkan Samuelsson, and has led to the potential model name being revealed. It's been known for some time that Volvo wants to deviate from XC90, etc., XC40, XC60. They're going to start using names again. Very interesting. And we did get told that the XC90's successor begins with a vowel. Now, according to Super Sleuths on the internet, they had a look, and the portal Car Buzz reports that searching through brand registration data, Volvo have the name Embla protected as of October just gone, and it's the only one they've got that starts with a vowel. So, deduction. The electric SUV will be the first Volvo on their all-new electric platform. The two current electric models, which is the XC40 Recharge and the C40 Recharge, same car, less of it at the back, based on a mixed platform. It's called the CMA platform, whereas they're moving to a purpose-designed electric platform a la VW Group, a la, you know, obviously Tesla, because that's what they make, a la, you know, EGMP platform with Hyundai and Kia. Now, let's talk Formula E. And the third-gen cars are going to get 40% of their energy from slowing down. Regen. Formula E has revealed their third-gen car, replacing the current car at the end of the 2021-2022 season. So we're going to see these existing cars a little bit longer, but then we go Gen 3. Formula E teams get their first Gen 3 cars next spring for testing. 40% of the energy used in a race is going to be from regen. Why? The cars don't have brakes. It'll be the first ever Formula car to have a front and rear powertrain producing 600 kilowatts, double regen capacity, of course, but that eliminates the need for hydraulic brakes. Now, obviously, safety is a paramount. First thought that ran through my brain when I read that story was, if you are removing any kind of hydraulic braking system and you are completely going brake by wire and completely going regen braking, there is like zero room for error, because these new cars will do 200 miles an hour. And then if you entirely remove the braking system, Well, hey, I know that they've thought of this more than me in the last 5 minutes, but still, it's the first thought that ran through my mind, right? The Gen 3 car has 350 kilowatts of power, 200 mile an hour top speed, 470 brake horsepower equivalent of a combustion engine, and those cars are coming. Now, let's talk LG, Energy Solutions. They are going to build a massive facility in Michigan, $1.36 billion of investment into production facilities by 2024. The company confirming yesterday this funding is coming from Michigan's office and part of the plan for the batteries unit of the South Korea-based LG Corp to expand in the North American market. The Detroit News previously reporting LG owns a vacant 40-acre parcel of land adjacent to its current battery manufacturing facility in Holland. An expansion there would be a major boon to the home state of Motor City, whose leaders want to ensure Michigan stays at the forefront of the automotive industry's move towards EVs after the homebred Ford opted for sites in Kentucky and Tennessee. LG, back in March, pledged $4.5 billion of investment by 2025 to increase battery production. 70 gigawatt hours is the target. A new plant in Lordstown in Ohio is under construction, where they're going to make the Ultium cells with their partnership with GM. Stellantis doing a partnership with LG as well for a 40 gigawatt hour plant in North America. So LG working with the likes of the Stellantis brands, of course GM, and more as well. Now, I'll leave you with this story, because as you can hear, my voice is going after just 20 minutes. The first electric vehicle used for polar bear spotting. A vehicle used to transport tourists on polar bear spotting adventures has received a green makeover. Frontiers North Adventures says one of its Tundra buggies, which has 40 seats in the back for passengers, has moved from diesel to electric power. The vehicle was converted using a repurposed battery from an e-bus. It's the first of its kind in the world, and they'll convert all 12 of their vehicles in the fleet to electric power, which is brilliant, because if you are taking a vacation, holiday, in my language, to go and see polar bears, the incongruity of using a diesel vehicle to go and gawp at some polar bears whose environments we are destroying at a rapid rate, yes, not lost on most people. Of course they should be electric vehicles. It doesn't disturb the wildlife, and of course they should be electric vehicles, just because if you're driving to go see polar bears, you shouldn't be in a diesel. Holy moly. Hey, I'm glad they've done that. Right, question of the week. Clearly getting a rollover this week, because I'm recording this late anyway. Which EV makers are on Santa's naughty or nice lists, and why? Tell me why. Email me your thoughts to hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to our premium partners of the podcast: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.